So last Sunday, we began this new season of Advent, and Advent begins the new liturgical year. And so this year is year B, and we read through the Gospel of Mark. And I was pondering last week, well, if we begin the new Gospel, why don't we begin at the beginning of the Gospel, rather than randomly as we did last week in chapter 13? Thanks be to God, someone actually listens to me, and so today we get the beginning of the Gospel of Mark. Mark making this proclamation about Jesus. Now, remember that Mark is the first of the Gospels to be written. There's no template when he sits down to collect the different stories that are being told about Jesus. No one has set about doing this before, and so Mark has to wonder, well, where do I begin? What are those stories that have to be told about Jesus? What are the things that are so crucial that people need to know? I mean, of course, the first thing that any of the gospel writers would have thought about was the cross. And many scholars say that they probably even began their gospel stories by writing about those days of the events of the Passion, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. So central, so crucial to our understanding of who Jesus is and what Jesus brings by way of his demonstration, embodiment of the love of God, that the cross is the center of that story. But we need to then, well, tell the rest of the story. And so it's this question of where do you begin? And Mark wants us to understand that in the beginning, the Word was there. He doesn't tell us the story of the infancy. Matthew and Luke later on will fill in the details about the birth of Jesus. St. John will tell us that beautiful poem that we call the prologue to his gospel that situates the ministry of Jesus in the whole spectrum of creation. But Mark is content with this single line to introduce his gospel. The beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, all of those words, we just think, oh yeah, they're all words we're very familiar with. But all those words had meaning and significance at the time that Mark was writing them down. And Mark, of course, didn't even know where this book, this composition would end up. There was no sense of the New Testament yet. The scriptures were simply the Hebrew scriptures, the writings of the Jewish people. That was the sum total. Yeah, there would have been a few of the letters of St. Paul already beginning perhaps to circulate, but this is a new undertaking that Mark makes. And so when he makes this declaration that this is the good news, the gospel, this word that underlies this was already used in the Roman Empire. When an army had a great victory in battle, they would send evangelists to go to the four corners of the empire, and they would proclaim the good news about the victory. So this euangelion, this evangelization, is about a victory in a military campaign. And so when Mark says this is the beginning of the good news, it was this declaration that there was this victory that was beginning to happen. And already we see that he doesn't just talk about Jesus of Nazareth, but he talks about Jesus, the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, the one that he's already up front in the very first opening line declaring who he believes that Jesus is. He is the fulfillment of all the hopes and the dreams and the longings of so many generations of Jewish people across the centuries. But not only that, not only is Jesus the Messiah, but he is also the Son of God. Again, a declaration that the Roman emperors have been taking upon themselves since the time of Julius Caesar. This first declaration that I am the Son of the Divine Father. And so it's already this political declaration saying, no, not Caesar in Rome. He's not the Son of God, but Jesus, the Nazarene, Jesus, the Messiah. He is the true Son of God. He is the one that will find and be able to bring you salvation. He is the one that we're able to experience this new life, this gift, this freedom in and only in and through his ministry. But then Mark wants to give us the details about this significant figure, John. John the Baptizer, John the Immerser. But John is there stepping onto the stage of human history in order to be that shock of new life. Yes, the Jewish people had heard those two key stories in their scriptures. These two identities that everything within the Jewish mind was built around. The truth that God was the creator, and so the story of Genesis 1 and 2, but also the story that God was the liberator. God had set his people free. So the whole story of the Exodus that we read in the first few chapters of the book of Exodus. Both those stories were central to the Jewish understanding. And so any new figure that stepped onto the stage of Jewish history was always understood within the context of these two stories. And so they've heard about the Exodus. They've heard about this freedom. They celebrate it every year on the Jewish festival of the Passover. They know about the power of God to bring freedom and liberty. But for century upon century, they haven't experienced it. They've been living in captivity from one regime to the next. If it wasn't the Babylonians, then it was the Assyrians. If it wasn't the Assyrians, then it was the Persians. If it wasn't the Persians, then it was the Greeks. If it wasn't the Greeks, then it was the Romans who had occupied and conquered them as a people and a nation. It had been hundreds of years since they had any sense of freedom and liberty. And yet they continued to tell these stories. They continued to long for that experience of freedom and liberty. And John steps onto the stage and announces this new possibility of people experiencing this freedom. And we need to understand that when John does this, when John encounters it, it's like this sudden cry. You know, imagine yourself asleep in bed. It's a beautiful, cool night. And then suddenly there's this cry, and then someone, you know, might bring in a little bit of cold water and begin to, you know, kind of fling it around, and you're just experiencing this whole sort of sense of, I should be aiming at people that are asleep right now, and dang it, you're all looking at me. That's not very fair. This is the sense of what John's ministry is kind of about, this sense of the original ice bucket challenge of bringing this freshness, this bright kind of spark to bring this sense of liberty. He's bringing this declaration of this new life that comes through this cleansing. Not just the outward cleansing of water, of course, but this new experience of God bringing into the midst of their own experience, their own encounter, the power of God to do something different. We know that experience in our life. We know that sense when we're just walking in the wrong direction. And why are we walking in the wrong direction? Because we're looking the wrong way. The first thing that needs to happen if we're to go in the right direction is to turn our heads and to turn our bodies to face in the way that we know that we need to walk. That's the first step in this, that we need to begin to look in the direction that we want to go. That's when we'll begin to experience this call to go in the direction that we know, we long to go. That's the freedom that John is inviting the people into. And where does he do this? He does it in the wilderness. He's there in the Jordan Valley, not in the main city, not in the midst of the hustle and bustle of Jerusalem, but he goes off into the wilderness. And I think there's something central in that for this Advent season, is that sense that John knows that he can't often find this life and this freedom in the midst of the city. And he goes, in Hebrew, the word is midvar. That's the word for wilderness, the word for desert, this midvar. And if we hear that word midvar, we hear perhaps also the root of the Jewish word for word, davar. In the midst of the midvar, we have the freedom to hear the word, the davar, the proclamation. We're able to encounter the word. We're able to experience the word. We're able to react to the word. It's only when we hear the word of God that we're able to respond to it, that the word of God will call us to that freedom and to that recognition that so often we're just going the wrong way. And during this season of Advent, we have this possibility of changing our hearts opening ourselves to the power of God to bring freedom into our lives. But we need to experience that midvah. Now, we may not be able to go into the Australian outback this week, but I'm sure all of us are able to find some space within our lives, at least for a few minutes, to be able to create that wilderness, that emptiness into which the Word of God might be able to address itself within our lives. Let's take that chance to hear the Word of God and to listen to the Word calling us to life, calling us to freedom, calling us to surrender to God, and then respond to the Word in whatever way that we can during this time.